And we begin with a story that's all about sharing. Sharing is a good thing, right? We learn all about that as little kids.
Sharing, I like to share. I share.
Sharing is good. This is also a story about our bodies. And we learn about that when we're little. We learn not to be ashamed about our bodies. So combine sharing, a lack of shame about our bodies, with a school full of teenagers with smartphones, and you get the crisis in Canyon City, Colorado this week. There have been dozens of suspensions over the exchange of hundreds of texts with explicit photos among students, some as young as eighth grade. Another school in Kings Park, New York, on Long Island, also suspended dozens of students this week for allegedly texting sexually explicit videos of another student. This could be a teachable moment about the internet and morality and sexuality, but in Canyon City, Colorado, it's also about the rigid laws in Colorado that deems this kind of thing, naked pictures of minors, a possible felony.
You know, if you do bring the issue to a school employee, it is our current policy and job to, you know, forward this information up the chain of command and then refer to the police for investigation.
That's George Welch, the superintendent in Canyon City, Colorado. But for parents and teachers, there's a larger conversation here, a deeper conversation about the effect and impact of technology, and a real generation gap, as none of this was conceivable for high school students even a decade ago. Manush Zamarodi, host of Note to Self, a podcast from WNYC Studios, she says in this parade of change, the law is bringing up the rear.
The laws were written up in the 90s before any of this technology existed, before kids were walking around with powerful computers in their pockets and social networks where if you take a photo and you send it to someone, it can go to lots of different places. And so I think that's what the Canyon City school superintendent is trying to figure out. You know, how much is this about advising the students right this minute? But if a student actually comes forward to a teacher, they're going to take them to the DA's office, even though the DA's office is saying we are going to take each case, look at it individually. They do not want to prosecute kids. But then there's Colorado law, which, as you said, it's child pornography. And what I find so interesting about this too, John, is if you are underage, you can be the victim and the perpetrator simultaneously, which is kind of laughable, while it still can be legal for you to actually have sex. So there's a lot of conflicting messages going out to kids, and I think people are scared because of the legal ramifications, but then they acknowledge that this deserves a very nuanced conversation, and you can't just say, no, don't do this, because, as we know, kids are way better with technology than grown-ups are.
Well, I would stipulate that while you might consider this laughable and interesting, I think there's also this question of how does a school deliver a message on what is appropriate behavior here when one hand is handcuffed to Colorado state law on child pornography and the other hand is probably handcuffed by outraged parents who are looking for some sort of culprit, you know, when in fact, as you describe, this could be a very nuanced sort of social interaction that's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, right? It's almost like this whole thing is playing out on two different levels, the sort of legal and parenting sort of level, but then the sort of, you know, everyone has their own opinions about whether or not teenagers should be having sex, should be having sexual relations. But, you know, I just got a note actually from a pediatrician here in New York, and she said, I see a lot of sexually active kids every week. The reality now is that the human body is extended to the virtual world. Teens exhibiting their bodies to peers is their right. If these are bullies, coercive people, or adults involved in the dissemination of these images, these offenders should be targeted, not the adolescents. I don't think we're there yet as a culture, but it's interesting to hear professionals sort of take on that too.
When adults are involved here, the presence of a child pornographic picture, a naked picture of a minor, is, as far as I can tell, in most states, prima facie evidence for trafficking and predation, and that is a felony. How do you distinguish as an educator between what is innocent trading of images that we've already taught kids they shouldn't be ashamed of, right? In health class,
right.
I think we did teach them that. how do we decide which is innocent and which is predatory?
Well, and that's why it's so interesting to look at Canyon City, because the DA there, he has said, because he has to say it, right? The Fremont County District Attorney, Tom Ledoux, has said that even some of the kids involved could face charges related to the production, possession, and distribution of sexual exploitive material. But he has said they are not going to do any sort of mass arrests, that they are going to look at each case. And I think that's why there's so much attention on Canyon City, is because not only are the kids doing it there, but there was this sort of, that's the other question, there's this maybe formal ranking system that was created out of all these photos where people were being sort of, it was like baseball cards, which is a little ugh. And so I think in a way Canyon City is going to become potentially an example and a change. Change could come from watching how Canyon City deals with these kids.
And there's no reason to believe that this is just happening in Canyon City. So advice to parents, ask your kids if something like this is going on. Just talk to your kids about what they should do or what?
I mean, I think the question has to also be like, why, not just like, don't do it, because as we know, teenagers don't, I don't have teenagers yet, but my, I know kids don't listen. I sure didn't when I was a teen. So I think the question is talking more, why? What is the need that you feel to send a picture of yourself? Is it because somebody, it feels good that somebody asks you for a picture like this potentially? The question is, let's separate the bullying from the exploration, right? I think that's, as you say, there's a lot of nuance to this. And so understanding, is it a bullying thing? Is it a starting of a relationship thing? Is it wanting to, I mean, a lot of it comes down to gender and the way girls are presented in the society, that they have to be sexy. There's so many issues to unpack here, and just leaving it down to legal or illegal or bad or good is just not going to cut it.
Manoush Zomorodi is the host of WNYC Studios' podcast, Note to Self. Honoré Corder, who's parent of a 15-year-old right here in Austin, Texas, author of the successful Single Mom book series. Just off the top of your head, knowing what's going on in Canyon City, what speech have you prepared for your own teens?
So I had a conversation with my daughter last night about this very situation, this very topic, and she said, I'm aware that it's illegal because my school has educated me. And I said, tell me about that. And she said, it was my entire grade, both last year in ninth grade and this year in 10th grade, everyone in the Performing Arts Center having a conversation about the fact that sexting and pictures and those types of exchanges are not just inappropriate and unacceptable, but illegal. And then as a mom, I'm talking to her about it on a deeper level as to why someone would send those types of pictures, what's going on with them, why they would feel the need to show that, right? And why that might not be appropriate.
The way they view it is totally differently from the way that we
viewed it
when we were their age or even now, right?
That's correct. And we are trying to give our kids the message that they are wonderful and able to share themselves in any way that they feel appropriate, and they should be ashamed of themselves and they should feel proud of themselves and those sorts of things. But I think being proud of yourself, there's a line and it should not be crossed. That's my own personal opinion. And then there's also the issue of the fact that they are making decisions when they share those types of photos and have those types of exchanges and whether they're having sex, that at some point in their future, they are making a decision today that could affect them in the future, that whatever Google is in 20, 30 years, that particular picture could be found.
So let me hit you with a hypothetical, and this has nothing to do with your daughter, but we do know that you have a daughter. I have daughters as well. Given that this technology is capable of shocking us as well as reassuring us, call up your daughter on 10 o'clock on a Friday night. Oh, you're fine. Great. Love that technology. But what if your daughter had a relationship with another girl, shared a picture of her girlfriend with someone else, the police got wind of this, and all of a sudden the cops wanted to talk to you about your daughter as a trafficker in child pornography? How would you untangle that knot?
I would have a conversation with the police.
All right, and so the police need to, like, get out of the picture first.
Obviously, if she's breaking a law, that's
right.
That's a problem. We're going to handle that. And I would have a conversation with the police. I also think that there's intent. And I think it is interesting that laws were written before this type of technology existed and this type of access to each other existed. And I think maybe it's time for a closer look, a sharper look.
And so laws need to get more hip and progressive. People need to have very deep and concrete conversations with their kids. And we got to have a certain amount of, we'll see what happens, right? Because we don't know where this is headed completely.
We don't. And I think there's an element of personal responsibility that should be sprinkled in there for good measure.
So Manoush, have you been listening to these two parents of teenagers talking here?
I have. I've been listening very closely.
Are we terrifying you? Any insights? Anything that might end up on your podcast, a note to self?
Well, yeah. I mean, part of the thing is, like, I've been watching my own sort of evolution. When I first heard about sexting, I don't know, like a couple of years ago, I was totally grossed out by it and terrified. But honestly, the more I talk to kids, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying I'm starting to understand more of the motivation. And I'm not as maybe prudish about it as I was. Obviously, when the law is involved or adults or bullying, I am absolutely not okay with it. But I think teaching kids the difference there is important. And most importantly, what I want my kids to have is be honest with themselves and to have deep, meaningful friendships. And I think, to me, it's about that care and empathy that we really need to be talking about more and more these days and with technology around. And also the fact that kids need more information and need more time to think these things through for themselves, because they have so many more choices to make than we ever did.
Well, can the three of us all agree that wherever this goes and however different it is from family to family, kid to kid, parent to parent, none of us want any of this to end up in the yearbook, right?
Correct.
All right. On that note of agreement, we will end this discussion. Honoré Corder is parent of a 15-year-old here in Austin, Texas, author of the successful Single Mom book series. Manoush Zomorodi is the host of the WNYC Studios Note to Self podcast. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, John.